Kevin and Yurko
on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Let's just let it breathe for a little bit. Sylvie's back in studio today. Waddle and Sylvia 2, White Sox baseball tonight. Can't wait to welcome Sylvie back to 190 North State, the first Midwest Bank State Street Studios. Make sure you're watching on Twitch later today. Twitch.tv, download the Twitch app. Watch today and every day, all the shows. We all broadcast live on Twitch. And I'll try to do a better batting stance today, too. I took some heat for my George Brett.
Yeah, you, on Friday, you deserved heat.
You know, like the first three I did, guys on Twitch got them. One, two, three. Boom, boom. Ichiro. Ken Griffey Jr., Sammy Sosa, Yurko did Anthony Rizzo. Boom, all over it. And then I thought I had a real good one Friday. I always thought I did a pretty good George Brett, and nobody got it. You guys didn't get it. The Twitchers didn't get it. They were like, Carmen, that was no good. I heard it for this weekend.
Yeah, good. They're like, I'm glad your
what's
friends
with your George Brett? And I'm like,
straightening you out.
That's a good. I still think it's a good George Brett.
That was an awful George Brett.
The chin and the bicep.
That's awful. Maybe looking at it, like if you'd have turned toward the camera where you're hiding your face.
Maybe.
Maybe that would have done it, but from my angle, it was good. The hell is Carmen doing?
Try something.
I thought you were trying to smell your own pits.
No.
So I thought, maybe he thinks he stinks. I thought you smelled fresh.
This is why Twitch is so much fun.
Right.
That's why you should be on there. You never know. You could see fun. Maybe Merck, you want to come in and try a batting
By the way, I asked Carmen during the break, I said, Carmen, I said, let me know, a list of Japanese PGA golfers. Carmen couldn't pull one. You couldn't pull one, and I mentioned Jumbo Ohsaki.
Jumbo Ohsaki's the one that comes to mind.
Yes.
Wai Yang won a PGA championship. He's a South Korean. You know, with golf being as popular over there, and there are so many courses, you'd think that there might be some more.
Shigeki Maruyama.
I don't know if I remember Shigeki.
Oh, Shigeki, I remember.
Did he wear the hat, Yurko? I can't remember if he always had the hat.
The
crazy hat, like not like the normal baseball cap they wear. How about Isao Aoki?
Right, Isao Aoki. I thought he was Hawaiian, but he's from Japanese
descent.
He's
the one who battled Jack Nicklaus for four rounds at the U.S. Open.
That's right.
Well, Hideki's been close for a while. I mean, he's always been a good golfer. I mean, he's won here. He's won on tour, half a dozen times or something like that?
Yes.
Close to it. So,
yes.
Like, I mean, he's always been competitive in the most famous one, and it's a big deal, man, over there. They've got the Olympics. They kept talking about it on the broadcast all weekend. They've got the Olympics there. They were supposed to, of course, be last year. They'll do it this year. The Olympics in Tokyo, and like what a big deal it's going to be for him to represent his country.
I think there's two guys that are on the tour now that we don't pay attention to, but Roy Ishikawa.
Okay.
I believe is a tour guy now, and Taniguchi. Toru Taniguchi are members now, guys that are out there swinging it week in and week out trying to make things happen for themselves. So there's more Japanese golfers than I anticipated, but you got a lot of guys from Taiwan that are represented. And
South Korea,
yes.
For the country though that is so golf crazy,
and they love it. Golf, like, and they buy golf supplies. I remember Bob Bettinardi from Bettinardi Putters once told me, he goes, our clubs sell in Japan. It's unbelievable.
Really?
He goes, it is unbelievable. It's got to be every Japanese golfer owns a Bettinardi putter.
And he said I've heard there are so many courses, and it's not a big country. I mean, but there are so many courses I've heard. And it is such a popular sport. And Faldo was making the point, because of the rain delay, by the time they were finishing up here Saturday night, it was Sunday morning in Japan. And they're getting up and they're watching him wrap up his round three and make history. I mean, what he did again on that back nine on Saturday was spectacular. Yeah. Unfortunately, there just wasn't much punch yesterday in the first major of the year. And hopefully the PGA Championship's a little bit more thrilling. DJ's on the south side on ESPN 1000. What's up, DJ?
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Excellent.
Hey. Hey, you seen Coach Pataki around lately?
All right, you got to say
no,
that again.
I haven't seen Coach Pataki around lately. I have not.
We got to put him on hold. I don't know what's going on with his phone.
Yeah, Coach John Pataki is coaching CVS. Coached me as a freshman year at TF North High School. When he was in between gigs, he came down and coached us. Then he ended up back at CVS Chicago Vocational. So have not seen him. And I think he was talking about hitting. Baseball hitting is the question he wanted to ask. But if it clears up, because the wind is much, much too mighty there.
Let's go to Doc in Rogers Park. What's up, Doc?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, listen, cheers for the skinny guy, for the wet noodles, Alicarius, you know, 100,
yes,
maybe 30 pounds.
Noodle.
and you know, says a lot for DeChambeau and Kepka, these muscle-bound guys, and this little kid. I mean, he's a skinny little guy.
Wispy.
He
was wispy. You don't have to be strong to hit the golf ball 320 yards. I mean, you know, you really don't.
Got to have whip.
You got to have mechanics and technique and
right?
Whip. Exactly.
Yeah. Got to have whip.
You got to have nay-nay.
Yeah. I appreciate that. That's a 2-year-old reference right there, but I mean, we'll take it.
It's like probably a 5-year-old reference.
Is it already?
Yes.
Five years?
Justin Thomas ain't a muscle-bound guy. Justin Thomas hits it 320
right.
yards.
Spieth is not a muscle-bound guy.
Well, he doesn't hit it very far either, but still,
Could pound the ball.
Hits it 300, yep. 295, 300, and there's nothing to him.
Yep.
So now you don't have to be all muscled up. Whatever works for guys, different things work for different guys, obviously. And the joke that was being made almost ad nauseum yesterday was get the poor kid a cheeseburger, get him some pizza. Well, maybe he's young. Maybe he'll grow into his body a little bit. I'll be honest. I didn't know who Will Zalatoris was before our draft last week.
And
I drafted
him.
My second to last pick, we're 11 guys times 6 golfers is 66 golfers. It's 2/3 of the field. So when you get into about rounds 5 and 6, you're kind of like, well.
You're searching.
And I'm looking, and I see that there's, for some reason, a guy that has been passed up that was in the Vegas odds 35-1. And I'm thinking, I looked at it, and I said, I don't even know. I don't even recognize the name. But I said, why are guys coming off the board now that are 100 and 150-1 when a guy who's 35-1 is still available? So I finally just said it was either my last pick or my – I said – Will Zalatoris. I said, Merck, who is he? Merck's like, I don't even know. And Merck knows everything about golf.
I knew who he was. He had played on the Korn Ferry Tour. He still technically doesn't have his PGA Tour card, which is crazy.
How is he 35-1?
He got in because he finished 6th last year at either the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship.
It was the U.S. Open.
Yeah. I never heard the name.
So top 10 in the U.S. Open gets you into the majors the next
year. Right, that's true.
So
only reason I grabbed him is because I looked at the odds and I thought something was off. I'm like, wait, did I miss this guy? Did somebody take him? Why is he 35-1 and I'm picking him in the 5th round? And look how close he came.
He lives in the Dallas area and he plays golf with Tony Romo all the time.
I've heard this. Is this true?
What?
That Romo told Nance?
Romo told Nance, free tourney, Zalatoris is going to win the Masters.
Come on.
Yeah. Came close.
Well, here's a little heads up for all you Tony Romo fans. The Will County Amateurs this weekend.
This weekend?
Being played Saturday and Sunday at beautiful Balmoral Country Club.
Is he playing?
Down in Crete. And Tony Romo and his pappy are going to be down there. Nice. Tony and Ramiro Romo are teeing it up this weekend at beautiful Balmoral Country Club.
Now, he's won that event in the past.
Yes,
Tony.
He has. He's a former champion of the event, coming back, trying to go ahead and stake a claim once again. And, of course, the Flying Finnan brothers are going to be
of
there.
Of course. Why wouldn't they?
Two of the Finnan brothers will be there. The Golfing Finnan family will be there.
So I love the Golfing
A lot Finnan. Of good names down there. A lot of good golf going to be playing out there. And I think the course, with a little bit of the rain, hopefully it dries up this week. They're talking about maybe getting up in the high 50s, 60 for Saturday and Sunday.
Week is going to be dry. I do know
right.
that. I
That's
saw
what
that.
We want. You want some dry weather so Balmoral can dry out. But Tony Romo and his pappy, Ramiro, will be down in the south suburbs playing a little bit of golf in the Will County Amateur.
And so he called Nance and said, hey, this kid, I play with him in Dallas. Will Zalatoris is going to win. I mean, my God. He came awfully close. He was money. I hope he's not a flash in the pan. I hope he's around to stay. He's got a couple of top tens as a young kid, I guess, the last two majors, I guess.
Well, the last two majors that he played in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Didn't Merck say it was top 10 at the U.S. Open last year, right, Merck?
Right, and there was no they played the PGA Championship in May.
The Masters, yeah.
Right?
No, they played it in August because of the pandemic.
Okay, so they played it in August, and the Masters was later on?
I think it went PGA, U.S. Open, Masters last year because of the pandemic.
Yeah, it was goofy year.
And no British Open.
Well, either way, he got it. And is the British going to be played this year?
Yes, the British.
Or are they going to put it off again?
The British is going to be played this year.
Yeah, all right, wonderful. Good.
Yes. I can't remember where, but it is going to be played.
They're going to keep on keeping on. That's what they plan on doing then.
Yes, they will. The Bulls had a terrible loss last night. 121-117. Just a dreadful loss. The Minnesota Timberwolves are one of the 5 worst offensive teams in the NBA. They were playing without one of their best offensive players last night. They had 13 victories going into last night. And the Bulls can't afford these right now if they want to make the playoffs. They're still kind of clinging to that play-in series. I think after they made the trade, they thought for sure that they'd be comfortably in the playoffs, And they're hanging by a thread even to make it into that play-in series, which is a little bit surprising, I think, to some. Their defense has been absolutely woeful. And if as bad as last night was, Friday was bad because they were on the road in Atlanta. They had a lead in the fourth quarter, Yurko. I'm watching Friday night. The Bulls were a small underdog. We liked the Bulls. We gave it out as one of the plays.
And LaVine was having a game.
He had 50 points.
Yeah.
Okay, they're getting a couple points on the line. Now you're in a, I say that's a tight lie. You don't have much wiggle room. It was about a 2.5-point spread. So you don't have much wiggle room. But with 8 minutes and 47 seconds left to play, the Bulls led the Atlanta Hawks by 7. Now you know that Kenny Rogers song, Never Count Your Money.
When you're sitting at the table.
But I'm looking at 7 with 8:47 to go, looking at LaVine's game, thinking, man, I'm pretty good. You know, you have about 9 points, 9.5 points to work with here. The Bulls would proceed to get outscored Friday night over the final 8 minutes and 47 seconds, 28-9. 28-9.
Your cushion was gone.
Like a fart in the wind, good kid. The cushion was gone. So not only is that a little annoying, but it's just annoying when you're a Bulls fan and you watch them blow a 7-point lead in the final 8.5 minutes of a game, and you kind of get blown out when it's all said and done.
Right.
28-9. Come on, guys. Their second half was pretty pathetic on Friday night. Their first half was pretty pathetic last night, certainly in terms of defense, giving up nearly 70 points to a Timberwolves team that isn't very good, that labors to score. So what is going on? I mean, and they have seemingly an unwillingness to stop anybody right now. They can't keep anybody in front of them. They can't guard their perimeter. They've been poor around the rim. Not that Nikola Vucevic has ever been really a rim protector, but they're having all kinds of trouble protecting their rim, even with Daniel Tice on the floor. So it's a little bit of a head scratcher.
So work in progress, though?
Oh, my God, I guess. JR, is that Donovan from last night that's on my screen?
Yeah, they were asking him how the defense gets better when you really don't have much practice time to work on.
And that's always an interesting thing this time of year, you know, especially when you make trades at the deadline and, you know, you don't have much practice time, especially now with some of the rules. I mean, this time of year, you're not going to practice much as an NBA team anyway. Here's Billy Donovan trying to figure out how the defense can get better.
I mean, that's part of it. I mean, we had a chance to do some stuff today. You know, it wasn't for long, but we probably had a good 10 or 12 minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes of some shell work that was live. When I say live, it wasn't like body on body, but we were moving around and doing some of those things. You know, we just, there are plenty of times where we have got to be in a position. Tice does it pretty well. Like, we got to put our body in place. Like, we just have to put our, there's guys driving. We either got to take a charge or go vertical, but we got to put our body in place. And listen, there's going to be some times where Vooch is dealing with dynamic rollers and really, really dynamic guards, and he's going to need support. And it's not just Vooch, it's Tice, it's Dad, all those guys. There's got to be built-in support there, and we on the perimeter and even along the baseline have got to have a little bit more built-in support, you know, than we did. We showed a couple clips at halftime of where we got to be better there, but the biggest challenge for us is, you know, we have a hard time physically a lot of times controlling the ball, both the guards and the bigs. We just do. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, I went into the second half. We just started trapping every pick and roll. That's all we started doing. And it probably hurt us from the standpoint that Towns got that three late. But it did generate a couple turnovers, and it got us back in the game when I think we got down 8. You know, some of the trapping did help. But it's not the guards. It's not the bigs. It's us collectively as a group. You know, that's going to be the challenge is when we get against, you know, really great foot speed or craftiness with the ball, you know, we're going to have to be able to find ways to get it under control. And that's where we struggle.
Great answer from the head coach. But do they have the players and do they have the time now to implement what he's saying so that they can be better defensively? He singled out Daniel Tice, rightfully so. He's always been known as a good defender. And you can see that he can play big and physical. But I love that answer. We got to be physical. Sometimes you got to be physical. You got to take a charge. You got to go vertical. You know, I mean, he gave you an incredible, like, in layman's terms, where it's pretty right. easy to understand, hey, this is what's happening and why we're getting beat, and this is how we rectify it. Let's see if they can actually go out and do it. And sometimes it's as simple as be a little bit more physical, and they're not doing that right now. They're not keeping anybody out of their paint. Their pick-and-roll defense has been terrible, and it's led to a lot of losses even since they made this trade.
So the way he says it, is much more impressive than the last coach.
I'm with you 100%.
Okay, so. But he's asking for the same thing.
He is.
He is asking for the same thing that Boylan was asking for.
He is.
Only he's doing it in a much better way. To where this is a learned basketball individual, this Billy Donovan, so intelligent, so smart.
You are 100% right.
Boylan looked like blockhead Boylan, yes. But Boylan is saying the same thing in a much more rudimentary way. But they want the same thing, which is crazy.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
But that's crazy, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that's sometimes just what does make a more successful coach. They know how to communicate. They know how to talk to their players. I think it could be as simple as that. But I don't disagree with your general point on that. He is kind of asking for the same thing.
Yes.
Let's see if they can go out and actually do it. What do Bulls fans think about this run here? Look, they finally won 3 in a row. They failed at a fourth again. They haven't won 4 in a row since December of 2017. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bulls will try to put last night's ugliness behind them. They get right back at it tonight. That's probably a good thing. Don't even watch the film. Burn it. You play in Memphis tonight. And Memphis had been playing great, and then they hit the skids over the weekend. They had a lead in the final minute in New York on Friday night. They blew it. Tibbs' team took them to overtime, and then they lost in overtime, and then they lost to the Pacers yesterday. So both teams trying to bounce back. The Bulls, again, a small underdog tonight. I don't know if I want to tangle with it after getting burned by him on
Friday.
I'd
stay away from it.
But this has been a better spot for them. Like, when they're a dog on the road, their numbers are very good, despite what happened Friday in Atlanta. Their numbers are very good in that spot on the season. And after some really horrible losses, they've had a tendency to respond for Billy Donovan and Mo Cheeks and this coaching staff and bounce back. So I don't know if I want to mess with it tonight.
Mess with this game, but wager of the day, White Sox. Take the White Sox.
Take the White Sox, you think, after yesterday?
Yep. Yes.
Do I feel good about betting Rodon?
Take the White Sox.
That's actually maybe a pretty good bet.
I've just told you. Go ahead. I'm giving you free money right now. That's the one.
I love it when Yurko starts giving out free money, too.
Up and down, up and down. I've checked every ball game out today. This is the one I like. I like the White Sox today.
They're a -121 favorite tonight with Rodon on the hill against Tristan McKenzie.
What about the puck line?
The run line is they are +148. If you think they're going to blow them out, you'll get almost a dollar and a half.
I like that.
If you think they're going to win 6-2 today?
I do.
Am I all right? Should I play the? Do you want me to play the wrong one?
I think you should.
I might listen to my partner. He's got a vibe about the Sox.
I got a minor vibe on the White Sox.
The Cubs are +127 on the money line as Albert Alzolay faces Freddie Peralta.
Is there the Cubs won't score double digit runs?
I bet you can find that wager here. Let's see all the wagers
there. I'd like that wager right now.
I'm on PointsBet now. They got 110 different wagers for this game alone. Let's see totals. Cubs total.
Yeah, I'd be looking for Cubs total.
Chicago under Cubs 10. Total.
It probably -1,000, but that's fine. I'd lay $1,000 to win $100.
Do you know the over-under is only 3.5?
Oh, I'm not sure.
It's -131 for 4 runs. It is, if they only score 3, you'll get even money. So would you take even money? You think
3.5, that's the total?
3.5. That's the total.
It's comical.
I mean, Merck, that's your team's total. 3.5, kid.
That's not good.
Dynamite drop in money. That's not good. Wow, man.
By the way,
you got any parlays for everybody, Mark?
I had a five-teamer
what
on
happened?
Saturday.
Yeah?
And you know how I love to bet first quarters.
I know you love it.
Okay, my final, it was $50 to win a lot. Let's just put it that way.
$50 to win a lot. So you had four legs already cashed?
Four already done.
Come on, Murph.
Four in.
You were feeling good?
The final piece was, and this is coming off, they had a terrible loss in front of the Warriors, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I know anything about Steve Kerr and the Warriors still, I know they're not the same team. They're going to come out fired up in this first quarter. They're playing the Houston Rockets, who had just played the night before against the Clippers.
And got smoked in the second half.
So I'm like, all right, -2.5 first quarter, I'm liking the Warriors. With a minute left, it's 32-24 Warriors. I'm fouling it on my phone, just like holding my thumb over because I'm so nervous. It's 32-27 then with 18 seconds left. I'm like, all right, I think I'm still good. I look away. I come back. It's 32-30, end of the first quarter. Merck, I lost
Merck.
By half a point.
Did you think about
John
cashing
Wall.
Out when you had four?
No, because it was active. It was so quick. It was I had three first quarters to find in the – no. John Wall hits a 33-footer with like 14 seconds
Are you
left.
Serious?
Yeah.
Merck, I feel for you. This is why these parlays.
I know. I know.
Now, was it big enough you would have been buying lunch today?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Wow. Damn. I'm sort of I'm upset you
missed
out
on
it.
Well, listen, he still owes us.
I know. I knew that was coming.
I asked for today so we can get some sandwiches. No.
Sylvie's return.
Tuesday.
I owe Sylvie a sandwich. I owe Karma a sandwich. I owe.
We should have done like a big lunch for Sylvie's return today. What were we thinking?
Yeah, we'll do it on Friday.
Do a Friday? Big Friday party?
Yeah.
Friday power hour?
Okay.
Jay is in Dallas on ESPN 1000 talking Bulls with us. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How you doing, man?
Hey, you know, the Bulls, I think the Bulls' problem, my new thing for them is don't draft skill sets, draft ball players. I mean, when they drafted Markkanen, what did they tell us? He's the best shooter in the draft. You know, you draft Kobe White. He's a great shooter, but he can't do anything else other than shoot. And it's like, even especially on defense, these guys have no idea what to do. They have no idea how to defend a pick and roll. I mean, and it's like they don't even know how to play the game of basketball. And so the thing for me is when you look at the players that they've acquired, like Vucevic, Tice, Brown, these guys, they're ball players. They know how to play. If you have guys that know how to play ball, they can find a way to get the ball in the basket and get defensive stops. And I think that – and hopefully that's the goal that this new regime has. It's changing the mindset of us getting ball players who know how to play the game. That way, Donovan can coach. I mean, he shouldn't have to tell – shouldn't have to tell Valentine not to shoot a 3 or 14 seconds on the clock when you've got Ricky Rubio guarding Vucevic in the post. If we get more guys who just know how to play ball and stop looking at everybody from the standpoint of what kind of skill set do they have, I think that this team is going to be much better in the long run.
All right, Jay. Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for checking in, as always. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk Bulls. I mean, Lauri Markkanen played 19 minutes last night. He's just – Billy Donovan, we played the soundbite last week. He's made it very clear. He just doesn't see them being, you know, big time.
We're not running things through these guys.
Right. Like, you know, there's the where they are now, how they've kind of rebuilt themselves on the fly.
Not that you're not trusted, just that you've proven over the course of time that you simply can't do it.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
I'll tell you, Kevin Durant likes Kobe White, though. Do you know that?
He's a fan of his.
He's a fan of Kobe White's. Let me read this to you. I don't know. This is from Friday. We were off the air already.
Whenever I hear something like this and a player supporting another player, do they share agents? That's the first thing I want to know.
I don't know the answer.
Because, you know, every once in a while the agent leans on, hey, can you say something nice about my guy? My guy's getting forgotten out here in Chicago. So that's the first thing I ask.
Good point, Yerk.
Yeah.
So Kevin Durant does a podcast on Spaces, which is Twitter's live audio streaming service. And he was on, I guess, this was at some point on Friday afternoon or early evening on Friday. And the Bulls became a topic of conversation, okay? And this is what Kevin Durant went on to say. What do you think, Durant said when asked about... I'm reading this, by the way, from Bleacher Nation. What do you think, Durant said when asked whether LaVine and Vucevic could be a quality pairing. Bro, when you've got guys like them too, bleep, expletive. I want to throw Kobe White in there too, because I feel like he's a part of their future and he's going to be the guy that's the point. You got three guys that can get it from three levels on the court. I don't give a bleep what else you got. You got something with that. Two all-stars, one other guy, he's kind of a wild card right now, but he can go off, go crazy, get you 30 on any given night. When you've got that on your team, that's a great start. Kevin Durant can opt for free agency after next year. So let's go ahead and bring him to Chicago for $45 million.
It looks like his agent, Kevin Durant, is Rock Nation, and that Kobe White is not. So
he's got Ty Sullivan and another guy. So that's not, so I have a feeling these could be true feelings from his heart, not something that an agent wants to go ahead and have represented.
He can opt out after next year, guys. Let's start it. Let's start the hype train. Let's make a sizzle reel. Let's do something fun. Would you want Kevin Durant in 2 years at about 33, 34?
The problem with Kevin Durant is he never plays, right? He's always hurt now.
Well, listen, you're coming off a major injury like he's coming off of, and then sometimes there's like a trickle-down effect, isn't there? Where, I mean, he's had some nagging stuff this year. You're right, Merck. I don't know. Can he ever be the player that plays – can he ever play like 75, 80 games again and be the dominant scorer that he once was? You know, he still averages 28 a game. He just hasn't played a whole heck of a lot. But he had some nice things to say and some effusive praise for the Bulls and thinks that they're, you know, they've got the makings of a quality team. Unfortunately, since the trade, we haven't seen it in terms of wins and losses, and that's what's been so disappointing. 312-332-3776. There was something super exciting over the weekend, and it came from an unlikely source. We'll play that for you coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone had a nice weekend. Not a great weekend for our Chicago sports teams. White Sox only played one game because of the built-in day off and then the weather on Saturday. But they lost yesterday. The bullpen blows another game, which is surprising here in the first nine how often it's happened. Sox are 4-5 with Cleveland coming in tonight. Cubs scored, what, three total runs Saturday and Sunday and dropping a pair to the Buccos. They're 3-3 against the Pirates this year, who pretty much universally are considered to be the worst team in Major League Baseball. So that's not good. Offense continues to be a problem. Bulls, as we've discussed, had two dreadful losses, especially last night. Hawks at least got one. Got off to a terrible start. Jeremy Culleton called a timeout, gave him a piece of his mind, and they responded. And the Hawks held on for a win that they absolutely needed against Columbus. They get another crack at the Blue Jackets tonight in Ohio. So the action is nonstop. I mean, everybody's going again today. Cubs play. Sox play right here on your home for White Sox baseball.
They had that weird Friday off.
Because, yeah, I know.
You know, the openers.
Yes.
They want to make sure they have the next day off in case of rain delay.
Bulls and Hawks tonight, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild night.
Full slate of activity.
Full slate of activity.
So what are you thinking if you had to?
I think the Sox are
very important
to me right now. Oh, you're talking about the wager? Yeah. I like the Sox.
The Chicago Four. Who are you going against? Who are you going to fade? Which Chicago team are you going to fade?
I'd probably fade.
Do you like the Bulls tonight to respond after a disappointing game yesterday?
Believe it or not, I kind of do. Maybe
all right,
I'm
so
nuts.
You like the Bulls. You like the White Sox.
I think Columbus is not good and you got a lot of injuries right now. And so I think I might fade the Cubs.
Okay, so you're going to go with the Blackhawks and you're going against the Cubs with the Brewers.
I'm not betting all those in a parlay because I don't do that. But, yes, I think that'd be the play.
That's it. Randy, you got 30 bucks? We'll put a parlay down for you?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not betting against his Cubs.
He won't do that.
You going to do the clean sweep,
Merck? He's busting my chops during the commercial read. Did you hear that?
I heard him.
Well, I mean, what's that for?
That's a little funny.
I mean, he's the guy that only had 2 of 6 golfers. You make
have a bad tournament.
That's a bad show.
Bad tournament. Horrific tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad tournament is just like, okay, I didn't have the winner and I didn't win any money. A horrific tournament is when you've got 4 guys you're wagering on that didn't even make the cut.
Yeah, that's true, Merck.
That's horrific.
Well, is there anything exotic we want to put together for the fun? I mean, I'll do it just for fun for the show.
I would do it.
We got all 4 teams in action.
I like the Bulls. I like the White Sox with the run pull.
Minus the 1.5?
Yeah, minus the 1.5. White Sox minus 1.5.
So you're going to go Bulls money line.
Bulls money line. Bulls with an outright
Bulls
win.
Money line. Sox on the run line.
Sox
on
our Hawks tonight.
Hawks money line.
Puck line?
Is
that better?
Well, yeah, because you're getting, you know, plus 185 instead of laying money.
Give me the gas.
If you bet the puck line the other night.
Empty netter.
Columbus added a goal in the final 30 seconds and you lost.
Empty netter, kid. Puck line tonight.
Puck line.
Puck line. Puck line.
All right.
Puck and then we're betting against the Cubs because the Cubs can't get a hit.
And then Brewers. Your mic's on, Merck.
Merck, your mic's on.
I got it.
I can hear you talk.
I agree. You got to bet against the Cubs. They're not putting up any runs. What, they get 5 hits yesterday?
You can't bet on the Cubs. Right there. We'll put $10 a piece on it, Carm. What's it going to pay? $40.
All of those?
That could pay $80,000.
It's not going to pay $80,000.
I said it could pay. I didn't say it was going to pay. I said it could pay. I mean, I'm putting an ambiguous word in front of that.
Let's see.
Maybe it could. Right, it might be able to.
Let's see.
Maybe, you know, for blanks and giggles. Blanks and giggles, it might do that. I don't know. Carm's going to make the wager. He's going to come back and he's going
to
tell us what's
going
on. I'd
have to find here on my points bet. I don't even know where you make parlays. I've never made a parlay.
He's never made a parlay.
I mean,
can you believe
that?
I know with, like, you can how you could do the same day, but like, what is the, how do you, I'd have to look at it first. Oh, here, maybe.
All right, we'll let you look at it.
I'll have to look at it. I honestly, I don't
try to maneuver. You're hosting a radio show here, Carm. Yeah. I almost apologize for asking you that.
You know what? There was something really exciting over the weekend, and it came from the world of bowling, believe it or not.
Bowling?
And it wasn't Pete Weber related.
Was Chris Schenkel on it?
Yeah, Chris Schenkel on the call.
Earl Anthony?
I mean, I could watch Pete Weber highlights all day.
Mark Roth?
But there was a 7-10 split pickup. Listen to this.
Right through the
this
face.
This is on Fox, by the way. This was on TV yesterday.
Right through the face, leaving the 7-10. The 7-10 only been made on television 3 times in the history of professional bowling.
3 times.
On TV. Come on, kid, do it. My goodness, the ginger assassin just dropped a 7-10. You bet, kid. You bet. Oh, man. Give me some oxygen and water to spare the game. Brought to you by Guaranteed Rate. If you believe it, you can do it. Guaranteed Rate. Believe you will. I believe the ginger assassin can drop the 7-10. Oh, man.
It actually came off of the bowling ball.
Insane. Into the 7.
So we have the ginger-headed gent and the ginger assassin.
So does that
he's
mean
a redhead kid. He looked like he got a big redheaded mullet.
Does that mean he assassinates red-haired guys?
No, I think because he's got a redheaded mullet, they call him the ginger assassin. He's a young kid, I guess, right?
How about the fact that it's only been done on TV 3 times prior to this,
amazing.
Ever?
Amazing. And they've been putting bowling's been on TV for like 40 years.
Forever. There wasn't a – it's Saturday, right? You had the bowling finals, or was it a Sunday you get the bowling finals?
I don't even remember.
With Chris Schenkel on Wide World of Sports.
That was Saturdays.
Was it Saturdays?
Yeah, now they're stuck opposite the NFL on Sundays.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh, boy. You'd get that, and then you'd get downhill skiing from Innsbruck, Austria.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
thrilling stuff.
Good stuff.
But, I mean, that was exciting. Four times in however many years is kind of remarkable.
Out of Lake Placid, we used to get barrel jumping. They'd ice skate around the rink, and they'd come in, and they'd jump over the barrels.
That's
good times, Carmen.
Good
Saturday and Sunday.
Back then, that's all you had.
Great weekend programming going on.
I mean, it was either that or watch Bob Ross make another painting.
What patience. I've never seen a guy paint a Douglas fir the way he does.
Hey, there's always Battle of the Network Stars.
Do you know that sometimes I'll still go on and watch, like, you can go on YouTube and find those old Bob Ross videos. And I don't even paint. I just like watching him in 30 minutes make a masterpiece. I'm like, how does this guy do it? I love that stuff. But maybe it's because I was a kid and that's what we watched as kids. And I can't imagine a young person sitting down and watching it today.
He's so calming.
But he's so calming. And when he says, we're going to go ahead and put the colors across the bottom of the screen as they are from my palette, starting from the right and working around to the left. Now, I've covered the canvas in liquid white. And he's so proper, it's white, not white. White. Mm-hmm. Now, I've covered the canvas with liquid white, and that makes it nice and silky smooth, and it'll be able to allow us to go ahead and throw our paint up here. So let's find a light source here, and maybe in our world, the sun lives right here, and just make some X's and some brush strokes, and we're going to maybe put a little tree in here.
Some happy trees.
And here I am watching this for like 25 minutes, and maybe you've got a little peek in your world. It's whatever you like, whatever your world tells you. This is what we watched as kids. We watched Bob Ross make paintings, and we watched the Frugal Gourmet make Coco Van. Or, like Yergo said, you watched barrel jumping from Lake Placid.
Yeah. It wasn't a lot.
Get a kid to watch that today.
Johnny Sacco and his flying robot on Channel 44, Ultraman.
And I can still sit there and watch Ross videos on YouTube.
You don't remember Prince Planet.
No, I don't remember. I'm too young for
Prince Planet. Was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Cartoon, Carm.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I've heard of it, but I never watched Prince Planet. I never really watched much of Speed Racer either. I'm a little bit young for a lot of Speed Racer.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I was aware of it, but I didn't watch it much as a kid. John's in Niles. What's up, John?
Hey, guys, how are you? Great show, as usual.
Thank you.
York, keep telling it like it is.
I will, my friend.
Carm, you're missing your countryman in the bowling, Carmen Salvino.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There's another net blast from the past. That's a good call, John.
I was going to mention that it's funny you guys brought this up with the Cubs. I was looking this over the weekend, and one of the big things with the offense is the ball and chain on the franchise's neck called Jason Hayward. That Ross keeps marching around every night. I know it's early in the season, but there's a history here. I Googled the 10 worst contracts in baseball, and it came up the 10 worst in baseball history, and he was in there. They can't move him. That's tied up a lot of the financial situation there.
Yeah, it's two more years,
Two more. Counting this year, three.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, really, this year's just starting, so you're right.
Nobody wants to be saddled with Jason Hayward.
OPS plus in the early going of just 50 for Jason Hayward. Yeah, it hasn't worked out the way they thought. Now, I mean, maybe you look at it and say, hey, they did win a World Series, and he was part of that little rally. Like, he gave the speech. I mean, is that – I don't know. I don't know how to judge that. Is that worth the contract? Probably not. He brought them the defensive value I think they always thought they were going to get, but – he's just never been a very productive offensive player. He actually had a decent year last year, but that was just a sprint and a small sample in just 50 games.
60-gamer.
That was by far his best year in the advanced metrics as a Cub, and it's not even close. But mostly you see OPS pluses below 100, and that's never good. More great sound. What it sounded like in Japan with Hideki Matsui winning the Masters. We'll play that for you next.
Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Golf's first major of 2021 in the books, Hideki Matsuyama is your Masters winner, first player ever from Japan to win. Congrats to Hideki. Merck, was he one of the top 19 in the odds? I bet he was close.
I believe he was. Let me take a
double quick check and see who won our gift card to the Golf Center of Des Plaines. We thank them for that great gift card and for the great partnership. And we'll do the contest again next month at the PGA Championship. I'm not even sure off the top of my head where the PGA Championship is next summer.
I believe it's in South Carolina at Kiowa
Island. Kiowa Island.
Nice.
Yeah,
okay, Kiowa beautiful. Island. So we will do that contest again where we give out 20 people get either someone in the odds or the field. So
Anthony won. He had Hideki.
So Hideki was in the top 19 in the odds. I figured it was. He was about 35-1. Congrats.
Do you remember the classic story last time I was in Kiowa Island? You know, Waddle used to have a house down there in South Carolina. And he texted me like on Saturday. Rory won that PGA. And he says, hey, Rory's staying. They rented their house out. Rory's staying in our house.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, we got to get him on. He's like, all right, I'll work on it. And then he calls me back a couple hours later. He goes, hey, it was Graham McDowell, not Rory.
That's right. I do remember that.
So we got Graham McDowell.
A couple of Irishmen. Yeah.
We got Graham McDowell on the next day. And Graham McDowell's like, hey, by the way, I left you something special in one of your bathrooms.
Oh, did he say that? That's awesome. Very good by Graham McDowell.
I can imagine.
Here's what it sounded like. The Japanese call. This was the ninth hole yesterday.
Hi, Matsuyama, 93 yards.
Here's the final call. They had to be going crazy. Let's hear this. What's the beeping? That's just like sound effects.
Yeah, that's in their broadcast. It's like a little, you know, like satisfactory like, winning horn.
That's awesome. Well done. That's it.
Matsuyama Hideki, Masters を勝ちました。ついに。
That's great. It's like a little added sound effect.
It's class, so understated know. Too. You'd think he'd lean on it a little bit more. You know,
do we have when he put the ball in the drink on 15?
Yeah. Here, you want to hear that?
Yeah.
This is the mistake that seemed like it might open the door for Xander. Loosely translates to son of a. That's basically what it is. Yeah, he put it in the water.
Did you guys see what his caddy did after He returned the flag.
To he bowed to the course.
Do they always do that?
I guess so, but that's getting a ton of love on Twitter. People were
Japanese caddies always do that, too.
Do the Japanese players and the caddies always do that?
I don't remember whether they did or not. I mean, following Jumbo Osaka, and I don't know if Jumbo had a Japanese caddy or if he just had a regular American caddy.
Yeah, good question.
So I don't know.
I don't know that.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
All right, you want one batting stance for the day?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's see what you got.
Do it together.
Yeah.
Now, I always try to find someone that played for the team that the Sox are playing.
Ah, there's got to be Cleveland.
So that makes it kind of easy.
Andre Thornton.
The
I know who it is.
Like, the preload here is going to be the... Well, that's... Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Before he loads up the...
Wow.
Before he loads up to start his swing.
All right, let's
see. The pre-routine. It's not Franco, but that'd be too easy. Here we go. Ready? Left-handed batter.
Jim Thome.
Oh, Yurko. See, he had no problem with that. Look at the good kid. I bet you he beat everybody on Twitch today.
No, this guy had literally some guy named Geneva Jeff.
Geneva Jeff had it first?
Yeah, Thome.
Yeah, Thome.
Yeah, the tap of the hat.
He'd get that way, and he'd kind of hold it. He'd show you, now I'm going to hit it a million miles.
Yeah,
now I'm going to hit it up here, and he sure would hit it a million
miles. Yes, he did.
What was his nickname?
Jimmy Two Times.
No, but Gentleman Jim, isn't he considered a...
He's Gentleman Jimmy, all right.
One of the nicest dudes I've ever had to meet in here. He was
very
great.
Nice. Yeah. He really is. He really is a pleasant guy.
He knew a lot of guys from Eastern Illinois. I think he was actually at Eastern. One day when I was down there in the spring, early spring, just like warming up with a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Not that he attended there, but he knew a bunch of guys just came and hit the cages.
Well, he grew up in Peoria, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
So, not a shock. All right. Thank you for listening, calling, and participating today. Welcome back, Sylvie.
Sylvie.
It's going to be great later today. Don't forget to watch on Twitch. Sylvie's back in the studio for the first time in a year. Thank you to Randy Merkin and J.R. Strauss. Job well done. Greeny's next. Then it's Waddle and Sylvie. We've got baseball tonight. The White Sox are up at 6:30. Just after 7, we'll have the first pitch. And Yurko has today's final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
To turn into a $125 payday with this boost. Please discuss. Oh, you know what? A lot of baseball games out there. Thank you for giving me this. A lot of great baseball games.
Yes, here you go. Go ahead.
Cubs.